I'm glad to see that not everyone stayed away when they saw I was preaching this morning. And as I look up, I suddenly see that my brother came from Ohio to see me. No, he didn't come just for that. Let me give you a bit of context for the meditation that I would like to share with you this morning. It began as Sarah was inviting me to consider developing a sermon from a brief devotional that I shared at a recent CLT meeting. At that time, I was feeling hopeless as the national and world news continued to bombard the media outlets with war, injustice, famine, homelessness. Besides feeling hopeless, I was feeling powerless. What could I do? What should I do? I rationalized that there really wasn't anything I could do to make things better. In preparation for that devotional, I came across a little liturgy in the Soil and the Seed Project Year A, which focused on the ascension of Jesus. Now, in our Anabaptist traditions, I don't think we have done very much with Ascension Day. I knew about it, the story from the scripture, and I knew it was a day that the Amish in Lancaster County didn't work. They observed Ascension Day. But I hadn't spent a lot of time thinking about the significance or the details surrounding his ascension. However, his words are clear. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. We do have power. The transfer of power to his followers and us is real. And as I read the scripture story again and read through the other pieces that were part of the liturgy written in the Soil and Seed Project, two words stuck out to me: power and hope. That was seemingly just what I was searching for. One of the texts that was used was Ephesians 1. This part stood out to me. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Now, as some of you know, I have had an interesting relationship with retirement. There have been and continue to be challenges in the midst of changes that come from that transition. Some days and weeks are great, and others give me feelings of loss, change, uncertainty, and as I have learned, each person's experience is different. So as I started to put this meditation together, I realized that all of us experience change, transitions, loss, gain, uncertainty, grief, or aloneness. Those experiences are a routine part of life. Some we choose, and others are placed upon us by certain circumstances. Every transition includes a before, an after, and an in-between. And I think that I was and still am in the in-between space with the local, national, and international realities I was speaking about and what's going on. So I am searching for meaning and purpose in light of those current realities while I stay in that in-between space. As I reflect on my 73 years of life and 50 years of marriage to Deb, I recognize that there have been many more transitions and changes than I first thought, and that it was during some of those in-between times that I tended to lose hope and at times felt powerless. Every transition brings a renewed examination of our purpose for living, what we are called to do, and perhaps more importantly, what we were going to be. I was going to subtitle my sermon Reflections of a 73-Year-Old, but I was afraid that would make too many people stay away. And I also realized this week I might not be 73 because I got carded at Martin's grocery store this week. How do you like that? I'm not sure if that was a sobering experience or a good experience. I'm not sure yet. I asked them why, but anyway, that's... I mean, I can understand you not wanting to come and listen to somebody tell stories from the past along with talking about the good old days or the ways that things used to be. But as I reflected more on my life, I think there are a few perspectives that I would like to share that might be helpful regardless of what stage you happen to be in. There are a few things that might help you. I would like to clarify, though, that I'll give you a few things that you need to understand about me so that maybe you understand where I'm coming from. So here are a few. I have more questions and less answers than when I was in my 30s and 40s. There is more gray inside of me than there is on my head, the result of growing up in a black and white world and then actually living it. I am less certain about things than I was in my younger years. I try to hold my beliefs loosely and be willing to admit that I could be wrong. I think I am more honest than I used to be. What is there to lose? With more years behind me than ahead of me, I think more about passing from this life into the next and wonder what that will be like. And I am learning to accept that the past is done. I can't change it, no matter what I want to do. So this morning, I would like us to look at four areas of life transitions and how they might impact your sense of purpose. Hopefully, you can find some connection in your own life, experiences that you have had or are having now. We will look at a general category of parenting, retirement, relationships, and health. First, for parenting. For those who are parents, your journey began when you went from being me to we. And then when your first child came along, you went from we to three. Those were two life-changing experiences that involved significant transition and the accompanying search for purpose. Does anyone remember going to school the very first day of either pre-K, K, or first grade? A lot of change. But did you ever think about what your parents were facing? Did you think at all about what your mother and father were feeling? Do any parents here remember dropping their firstborn off at the school for the first time? Need I say more? And the flood of tears. No doubt. I see examples of separation anxiety quite often on the bus the first few weeks of school. So let's consider the transition issues that parents are going through as their children go off to school. The parent is moving from constant caregiver to learning to let go. There can be a loss of purpose now that you're not needed anymore, at least during the school hours. There's joy and pain in losing the daily chaos, enjoying the quiet, but not knowing what to do with all the time. And we could think about the child's move from center of attention to one of 25. We'll skip over the challenging years of parenting teenagers, except to say that for me, those years are most likely when the gray started creeping into my life. As I tried to deal with the black and white, I found that mixing them created gray. Deb and I certainly didn't do everything right, but we did try to have a very open book relationship with our children, providing the opportunity for them to ask questions as long as they were willing to accept a response of, I don't know. I'm not sure. One of the more difficult parenting transitions for me was when they left home. In our case, it was all going off to college. Earlier, I mentioned that tears came with the first day of elementary school. Well, I assure you, it didn't get much better as we got older. Deb and I often joke about the trail of water that is running down 81 when we took Derek to EMU for the first time and drove home. Separation anxiety all over again. I really struggled when they came home from college or break for the summer. For them, they probably felt out of place because it was not home anymore in the way it had been. They were separated from their high school friends, and their college friends were from all over the country and world. I wanted it to be like it was when they lived with us, but it wasn't. The college life of going to bed at 2 or 3 a.m. and sleeping till noon was hard for me to accept. Developing and defining a parent's relationship to young adult children can be a real challenge. Your love for them is still there, but your influence on them and their decisions may not be as strong as it was before they stepped out on their own. I was in that in-between space in the parent-child relationship. Another transition that can occur during this time is a parent's relationship to the church. For nearly 20 years, parenting children included involvement with church and church activities. When there are no longer children to take to church, some parents reevaluate their own connections and involvements with church and church activities. I believe that congregations could do well to pay attention to the empty nesters as they wrestle with the purpose and meaning of church for themselves now that the children are gone. I don't have time to say anything about a parent's role in the sandwich generation of life, caring for aging parents while continuing to support children and grandchildren, another significant transition, and the journey through the death of a parent as the baton is now passed to you. The second area of transitions that I want us to reflect on is retirement from full-time work. As I mentioned, for me, it has been an interesting journey. Transition into retirement includes moving from productivity to presence, from doing to being. And I find that to be a really tough one. For some people, their occupation or vocation provides nearly everything they need for healthy and positive living. For others, the occupation provides the income needed for living, but their real identity, passion, joy, purpose, fulfillment, and satisfaction comes from their activities outside of their jobs, whether it be hobbies, music, art, a side business, or volunteering. I fit into the first category. My workplace met the social, emotional, psychological, and spiritual needs of my life. And besides not having time, I didn't feel the need for many activities or hobbies outside of work. I'm still amazed at how strong the pull is to always be doing something. I'm not sure that I have fully embraced being. That an hour on the front porch by myself drinking tea, reading the newspaper is okay and perhaps even beneficial. This particular transition requires moving from being needed, being an important cog in the wheel, to wondering what your purpose is now. Over the last several years since I retired, I have talked to as many people as I can who have recently retired from full-time work. And one theme that came out of these conversations was, I'm surprised they never call me. A high school classmate of mine started working for a company right out of high school and continued there for 50 years, retiring just before our 50th class reunion a few years ago. His greatest adjustment has been to no longer having a connection to the company because they have never called him. Another said simply, I miss being part of the action. Another, when asked what he misses most, I miss being the person I used to be. Retirement also requires a move from structure to open space, which can feel disorienting. Some people like to have a routine, while others relish spontaneity and flexibility. But regardless of your preference, going to work established a pattern, a routine that is lost in retirement. After doing something for 30, 40, or even 50 years, it's pretty hard to change. The disorienting feelings that come with the loss of routine usually send us searching for meaning and relevance. The reality is that most of us are identified by our work. Our identity is often based on the role we play within our profession. And unfortunately, all of us add to that reality in the way we interact with people. Think about it. When we introduce someone, we often add what they do for work or who they work for. And often when meeting new people, our question is about what they do for a living. In our culture, identity is wrapped up in doing, not being. So when that role or identity is taken away in retirement, it creates that in-between space. that God has promised to step into. The third area of transition that I'd like to look at is relationships. Specifically, the loss of a relationship, be it death, divorce, moving, retirement, or separation. Sometimes the loss of a relationship is of our choosing. Many times it's a decision that's made by someone else. The loss of relationships creates some major in-between spaces that can easily swallow us up. And relationship transitions can take a long, long time to heal or be replaced with new relationships. Broken relationships are very disorienting and often create an issue of trust and mistrust. Earlier, I mentioned that specifically in a marriage situation that take us from I to we, and now we find that that relationship loss, especially in death and divorce, forces us from we back to I. What was shared is now done in solitude. When relationships are lost, for whatever reason, it creates feelings of instability, not knowing what the future holds, especially related to the lost relationship. Not long ago, I came across an old church directory that was maybe 10 or 15 years old. Been a lot of transitions in people leaving Zion. Yes, some people have come, but I was struck with the number who have left. Each one of these transitions represents a broken relationship. And most of them have had impact on multiple peoples in this congregation. This type of separation has been difficult for me to navigate. People leaving Zion and congregations leaving the Virginia Mennonite Conference have weighed heavy on me over the last several years. I remember being an elder, I think both when Mike Metzler started at Zion and when he chose to leave to start a new church. I remember as an elder, I felt called to hold the center, to work at bridging the divide between right and left, conservative and progressive. I believe that in that time we worked hard at listening, creating space, holding conversations, and seeking wisdom. So when Mike made the final decision to leave, I took it personally. It has been a painful process for me to work through that relationship loss. The greatest impact or effect of congregations leaving VMC has been the breaking of long-standing relationships. Some who have left said that things wouldn't change that much and we'd be open to continuing relating. I'm not sure if that's possible. It's hard work to work at a relationship, especially if there are no times of connections to be made. And for a bit of levity, it sounds like you remember the time when your girlfriend or boyfriend broke up with you and said, "But we can still be friends." Doesn't work that way. Relationship building is hard work. Sorry, I didn't mean to make light of a serious situation. Relationships mean something. They are valuable. They should not be taken for granted. And because they are so important in our lives, the breaking of any relationship for any reason we have looked at is a serious matter. And that could have long-lasting implications. Relationship losses put you squarely in the in-between space between the former and the future. The former is gone, but the future is uncertain. Our final group of transitions are health changes and the aging process. All of us will experience the aging process. Short-term or long-term illnesses take longer to recover from, and one medical situation can lead to another. Anxiety levels increase while in the in-between space of a diagnosis and treatment. Besides an increase in illness as the body begins to decline, the aging process might include moving to a new community to be closer to family, or it might involve moving to a nursing home. Once again, these are big changes. and can disrupt our normal pattern of living. The transitions associated with aging include moving from independence to interdependence, from strength to vulnerability, from familiarity to newness, and from mobility to immobility. The transitions associated with the aging process certainly leave us disoriented, wondering about the future, evaluating new relationships, and establishing new norms. I hope in this brief run-through, you have been able to find yourself either having gone through some of these life transitions, maybe you're in the middle of one of these, or maybe you can see one just around the corner or on the horizon. Life transitions put us squarely in the in-between space between the past and the future, the known and the unknown, the comfortable and the disorienting. It is in these times and spaces when we might feel lost, hopeless, and begin searching for help. And too often we forget the promises that God will meet us, not just in the before and not just in the after, but in the midst of our walk through the in-between. The in-between times can get messy, and there might be people giving you advice. But I believe that the messy times of our lives need the power of the Holy Spirit that is promised to us. In case you didn't know it, this world is noisy and messy. Life is unpredictable. Transitions shake our identity. We lose roles. We lose routines. We lose relationships. We lose versions of ourselves that we once knew. With all that happens around us and to us, it's easy to lose hope and to feel powerless. Cleopas and his friend were in the in-between of the death and resurrection realities. And as they walked along the road talking about the events, Jesus simply started walking with them. What a great picture to take with us. It reminds me of the line from the inspirational poem, Footprints in the Sand, when God says, "I love you and will never leave you." When you saw only one set of footprints in the sand, it was then that I carried you. The promise is that just as Jesus walked with Cleopas and his friend, Jesus will walk with you and I in the middle of our transitions, not just at the beginning, not just at the end, but in the in-between, where many times grief, hopelessness, loss, and anxiety exist. And in that space, God invites us to discover a new purpose, a new identity, new ways of being faithful, and new hope. God walks with us. God holds us. God renews us. And God calls us to move forward. May each of us look for and experience the presence of God when we enter the in-between spaces of life. Amen.